Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Exhortation strengthens hearts and pushes the church further in what God has called it to do. And if you're an encourager that's on the sidelines, we need you in the game. We need you encouraging because we need it to be able to do the work that God's called us to do.
Most of us who have close friends within the body of Christ, those we would consider brothers and sisters in the Lord, can recall a time when those friends have helped pull us out of the dumps, when we really needed a word of hope or a reminder of God's goodness. Those who minister with encouragement are so important within the family of God. They are using their God-given gift to help others. With more on the gifts we all should be putting to use, out of Romans 12, 6 through 8, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Paul had been sent away by the church in Jerusalem because everywhere Paul went, there was a battle that happened. And so they took him and they sent him away. And the Bible says after they sent Paul away, they had peace in Jerusalem. He was like, some just stirred people up. And for about 8 years, God didn't use Paul. I think there were times of him making tents, times of him reading scriptures, and committing to God, just doing the work locally that God had called him to do. And so Barnabas thought, Saul, I need to go Saul hunting. And that's how the Greek puts it. Barnabas went Saul hunting, and he found him in Tarsus, his hometown. And he encouraged him to come with him to Antioch and minister to the body. And Paul became one of the great ministers of the first century. Paul wrote 13 of the books that we have. And it started by Barnabas saying, come with me, Paul. Come to Antioch. Help these new believers grow. You might not be the one called to go do something, but you might be called to encourage the one who's going to go and do it. You might be the person that is always just lifting someone up and looking for that opportunity. I told you in the beginning of this, so you're going to find gifts that you want, gifts that you want to use. Encouragement is one of them, that you are gifted. All of us need to be encouragers, but some of you are gifted in it, that you can just encourage people. I'm so thankful for the men that encouraged me in my life to go out and do the work God called me to do. I'm so thankful for Skip Heitzig, who is the one who sent us out, who planted this church from Calvary Albuquerque in Tucson, because he encouraged me. Other men in my life that encouraged me to serve God and live for him, that came alongside and helped me. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12 says, as you know how to exhort and comfort and charge every one of you, as the Father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Like we encourage our children. We encourage them because we love them and we want good things for them. So we encourage them. Sometimes we encourage them to get a job and pull up your pants. Or more better encouragement than that. Exhortation strengthens hearts and pushes the church further in what God has called it to do. And if you're an encourager that's on the sidelines, we need you in the game. We need you encouraging because we need it to be able to do the work that God's called us to do. The next gift is giving. That's the fifth of the seventh gifts. And giving is that ability to give. It says, he who gives with liberality, with liberty, give fully. Now, all of us, again, give. We want to give. But some have a gift of giving. And someone says, well, what if I have the gift of giving, but I don't have any money? I don't know. Get creative. Go out and raise money. If you have the gift of giving, you're going to have the gift to be able to raise money for people or for things. But if you do have money, God is, he's given it to you to be a good steward of what you have. I want to be a blessing wherever I go. I want to bless the person serving my table. I want to be a blessing to everyone everywhere that I go. And the person that has the gift of giving wants that. They have the ability to be able to do it, but God wants them to give. In Acts 20, 35, Paul said, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, we don't have anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus said that. But Paul knew that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you know that? Have you ever been blessed by someone giving to you? I have. When I was 30 years old, I owed $56,000, $57,000 to the IRS. I had a business when we came here, and the manager who took over my business didn't pay the payroll taxes. If you think the IRS is upset when you don't pay your taxes, wait until you collect money from other people and then don't pay them. By the time I learned about it, it was already tens of thousands of more than what it would have been had I paid it. I withheld like $17,000 from them. It turned into like $57,000. And this is in 1990. So $50,000 or $57,000 in 1990 was a lot of money, a lot of money. My step-father-in-law, Lisa's stepdad, had mercy on me. He was a CPA, and he called me up and said, I've got a client who said that he'll give you a loan. I asked him, I told him about your situation. He'll give you a loan at a good rate, and you can work with the IRS to get a offer of compromise. And he told me how I could go do the offer of compromise. Here's the kicker. I thought the guy didn't like me. In fact, I think there was a time when he didn't like me at all. He would just give me an arm when I come to see Lisa when we were dating. That was it. But he showed mercy on me in a time that I needed it. And it took me until I was 40 to pay that off, by the way. It took me 10 years to pay off that $20,000 note, but it was a good lesson. And that grace that he showed me by giving to me at a time that I needed it was really powerful. And I believe that's the way it is when we give to those who are in need, to remember the weak. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, there is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. He's saying that giving is like farming. When you take your seed and you spread it, you get a harvest that is bigger and much more than what you have spread. There is one who scatters, and yet he gains more. And there is one who doesn't give what he should, and he ends up in poverty. The guy holds on to a seed because the seed is valuable and he doesn't want to spread it. He doesn't want to take a risk with it. And so he holds on to it and he ends up in poverty. When we give, we receive. God gives back to us. It goes on to say, the generous soul, this is back in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, the generous soul will be made rich. And I don't think that's just in money. That's in all kinds of riches. Maybe Paul was thinking of this when he said to the Philippians who helped him financially, and they were a poor church. And they came and Paul says to the Philippians, you were the only ones who helped me in my need. Then he said, may God grant you riches according to his mercy in Jesus Christ. I don't think the riches were financial. I think it's whatever they needed. Whatever area, they would be rich in the love of God, rich in the life with God. And so God honors when we are giving by giving back to us. The generous soul will be rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. There's something about letting go. Now, if you're wealthy, then you go, I can do that. I can give. You want to choose where you give. You want to be stirred when you give, but you can give. If you're wealthy and stingy, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have to figure it out. If you're poor, you can have the gift of giving too. And when you give, these promises are for you as well. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, and you know this one, but I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Would it surprise you that churches that teach that tithing is something you need to do are wrong? Tithing has never been reiterated in the New Testament. It was something given to Israel to do. Why? Because God wants you to give because you want to. As soon as the church tells you, you're robbing from God, which says in the Old Testament to the Jews that they were robbing from God by not giving their tithe. As soon as they tell you, you're robbing from God, now you feel compelled to give. Now you're giving because you have to. God wants you to give because you want to. He wants it to be something that goes from your heart to to give to him. And again, this is a gift any of us can do. We can all give. We can all be more generous than we are. We can all be a blessing to those who are in need. The sixth gift is leading. Again, we're all a leader. The first definition of a leader is one that goes first. And you can go first in a lot of things. I told you that Skip Heitzig had sent me out to Tucson 40 years ago now. It was probably somewhere around this time, 40 years ago exactly, that he said to me, "What do you think about going to Tucson? Tucson doesn't have a Calvary Chapel. They don't have anything like a Calvary Chapel. You want to go and start the church there?" He said two things to me when I finally decided to go. He said, "When you get behind the pulpit, make sure that everything's right between you and God. Don't ever get behind the pulpit with something wrong." He says it only takes a second to make it right with God. Be genuine, be sincere, be honest, and ask God to forgive you. And then teach from a right place with God. Good advice. But he also said, you'll never lead your people any closer to Christ than you yourself go. He said, some may go beyond you, but as close as you get to Jesus is as close as most of your people are going to come. And if you make it a priority to lead by example and to really love Jesus and really be close to Christ, then others will follow you. The same thing is true with us as individuals. When we lead, other people follow. How close are you to Jesus? Are you waiting for somebody to lead? How about being the leader? How about being the bushwhacker that gets out in front and chops the bushes down, making a path for other people to follow in behind you? All of us, again, need to be leaders. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Not for the sake of the teacher or the pastor or the leader, but for the sake of the work. "Be at peace among yourselves." What a great encouragement for all of us to be at peace. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive." Now, more than one pastor has misused that verse. "For they watch out for your souls." This is a verse I read to the staff periodically. We watch out for the souls of those who are here. It says that you must give an account. One day we will give an account for you, making sure we have led in the way that we are supposed to. "Let them do so," it says, "with joy. Let those who lead among you do it with joy, not with grief." Look, God uses difficulties in the lives of pastors because we need it. Going back to Charles Swindoll, I went to a conference where Charles Swindoll spoke at. It was Charles Swindoll, John MacArthur, and I'm missing a couple of people. But one of them, we got on a radio station now. I'm blanking out on his name. But that's a conference I need to go to. And Charles Swindoll did a sermon called "Boars in God's Vineyard." And he talked about the people in the church that when you see them coming, you go, "Oh, no." And sure enough, they come with a complaint. They come with a discouragement. And at the very end of the study, after talking about boars in God's vineyard, he said, "Why does God allow boars in your vineyard?" And he looked out at a room full of pastors and said, "Because you guys need it. Because you need it, Pastor. You need a boar to come at you once in a while. Because if it didn't happen, you wouldn't be the person you're supposed to be. You got to learn how to handle it." But there's also this verse, which is, "Let us do it in joy." And go out and lead in joy and let others encourage you. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders who rule well, worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fail, but in the multitude of counsel, there is safety." May you be a leader who leads people into Christ, into a relationship with God. Leadership is not about position, it's about guiding, it's about protecting, it's about modeling the life of Christ in front of other people. And when people see you doing that, they will follow in after you. I love the seventh gift. It may be my favorite. It's the gift of mercy. It's there in verse 12, at the end of the verse. Let him who shows mercy with cheerfulness. In order to show mercy, there has to be an offense. You can't show mercy without an offense. Mercy is when someone deserves you to be angry with them. But you tell them that it's okay, and you show mercy. The Bible says this is required of you, O man, that you love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with your God. Showing mercy reflects the heart of God towards a hurting and broken world. How much God wants to give mercy to people in the world. He longs to have them receive the work that he did on the cross. He wants to give mercy so much that he came and faced the cross. He set his face towards Jerusalem. He rode up on that donkey on Palm Sunday, knowing he was going to go to the cross, knowing they were going to pluck the beard from his face, knowing that they were going to put a bag over his head and punch him and say, "Who hit you, prophet? Prophesy to us." Knowing they were going to drive nails through his flesh and into that tree, and he was going to hang between heaven and earth and die for you because he wanted you to find mercy. And he wants us to be merciful as well. Those who have found mercy. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You'll receive mercy yourself when you're merciful. Colossians 3:2-13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, longsuffering, bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. James 2:13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. Micah 6:8, well, that's the one I quoted. To do justly and to love mercy. We want to be those individuals who are merciful towards those around us. Now, let me ask you, if the gifts that God has for the body is mercy and leading and encouragement, how much do we want to do that? How much do we want to find out if we excel in any of those things? Barnabas was an encourager, and he had the gift of giving. He was a wealthy man who sold everything he had and gave it to the church in Jerusalem. People said such good things about Barnabas that Ananias and Sapphira sold everything they had and kept back some of it, but told people they gave it all to the church. We're like Barnabas, we gave everything, but they lied about it. May God encourage you that you do all seven of these things and that you would find out what you excel in and be the kind that reaches out and blesses the people around you. Because God hasn't given you a gift that you would keep it to yourself. He's given you whatever gifts he's given you that you would minister to one another. And may God use it for that. Three things in closing. Number one, offer the gift God has given you. The body of Christ is incomplete without it. We need encouragement. We need mercy. We need giving. We need each other. Be faithful with the season you are in. Our gifts look different in different seasons. As a young pastor, I was more interested in truth. I spent a lot of time just going over the truth of the scriptures, showing people how to rightly divide the word of God. That's the truth, what the truth is. As I've gotten older, I've become much more of an exhorter, much more of an encourager. I still want the truth of scriptures. I still love the truth, but I want to encourage people. I found myself wanting to get to know more people as I've gotten older and wanting to be able to impart that relationship with Christ. What season are you in? Your gift will change with time. My teaching gift will not always look the same. If the Lord tarries, my teaching gift won't always look the same. It'll change before he comes back. Give it all. Number three, give it all for the glory of Christ. His church will be strengthened. The world will see him through you as you take the gift God's given you and you impart it to the church. We need you and we need your gifts to be involved here. And may God stir you up through this message to take the gifts you have and be used by him. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you that we can consider these gifts today. And Lord, how we want them in our lives. We want to be those who serve. We want to be those who teach. We want to be those who encourage. We want to be those who have mercy. Lord, help us that these would be the things in our lives. And one of these gifts have been given to us. May we excel in the one that you've given us to be able to bless the body. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. We say to you together as a church, give us the gifts you've given us and let us serve you in those gifts. Encourage us to do so. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few moments. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you did at one point, but you walked away and you know you need to make it right, then I want to encourage you to invite Jesus into your life today. Salvation doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen just because you go to church. Salvation happens because you say, I want to live for Jesus. And God draws you. God does a work in you in drawing you to himself. And in doing so, you respond and say, Lord, I want you in my life. And I surrender myself to you. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. So you receive him. That's how you're saved. That's how it happens. It happens by you saying, I want you in my life. And it's very biblical. John 1:12, as many as receive him, to those he gives the right to become a child of God. So you want to receive him? You want to invite him in? You ready to live for him? Then I'm going to ask you to do something simple but very profound for your life. Just raise your hand. You want to live for him? God bless you, sir. That's great. God bless you guys. That's awesome. God bless you. Ma'am, that's great. Anyone else? God bless you there, sir. God bless you. A couple there. That's awesome. God bless you all the way back over to my left. Anyone else? God's got a plan for you guys. God's got a work for you, and you're going to discover the mercy and the forgiveness of God. How wonderful. I'd like everybody, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.